look who's here. Jim and Carol to kick off the summer. Actually, it's not summer. People think it's summer. Of course, it's going to be 85 degrees today, so looks like summer. Feels like summer. Carol Gianforte, Jim Messier. I gave you top billing. Carol Gianforte,
yes,
Jim Messier are here.
Today.
Last time we talked about the dangers of growing up. And these
there
are
were more dangers.
Yeah, these,
we have even more dangers
but these
today.
These are dangers that a lot of them aren't around today. Mm. You know, some of them
that's
are around.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. It was a dangerous era, those 50s.
Yeah. So let's kick it off with this.
Here's Vic Damone for Coppertone.
Make the most of moments in the sun. Coppertone makes living in the sunshine fun. It gives the fastest tan as you will quickly see. Cause nothing tans like Coppertone naturally. So don't you be a pale face, get that sun. Get yourself some Coppertone, it's number one. Get the fastest tan that anyone can. Tan, don't burn, get a Coppertone tan.
Coppertone gives you the tan of your life. A tan that produces compliments galore. For beauty's sake, Coppertone keeps your skin soft while giving best protection from the sun's burning rays. Get some today in lotion, oil, cream, or spray. Or try Royal Blend, Coppertone's luxury suntan lotion. And as Vic Damone says,
get the fastest tan that anyone can. Tan, don't burn, get a Coppertone tan.
With a little girl getting her towel pulled down by the doggy.
Yeah, famous ad.
That was a very famous ad.
That is a very famous ad.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of truth to this ad because, mm-hmm. you know, you can get seriously burnt, get skin cancer.
Sure.
Which we didn't talk about back in the 50s and 60s. They just said, oh, that hurts. Copper. So it really does do a good job in.
Except with our, as I say, our vast research done. We still were not aware of the UV rays, even with Coppertone.
Right.
You know?
But we didn't know.
It was trying to make us tan, but it was not filtering out.
But it did, didn't it?
I don't think so.
Oh, Coppertone didn't filter out the UV rays?
I don't think so.
Oh.
We might hear from our listeners to correct me, but no, I don't think so.
I'm an idiot. I never use suntan lotion.
Uh-huh.
And I got burnt to a crisp.
That's what would happen.
And I go and get back from the beach. This is when I was a little kid. The hot water was hitting me in the shower.
That's when last time we talked about noxzema.
Yeah.
Did your mother have that blue jar of noxzema?
Yeah.
You can still smell that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be getting into laying at the beach.
Care.
Yeah. For
dangers.
Hours at the beach. That's
so let's do a quick recap of what we talked about last month.
Last time we talked about the evils of smoking. I mean, smoking was pretty much everywhere. And about all the sugar that was in many of the foods, especially cereals. But we didn't care. The more sugar, the better.
And you know what? You don't see as many people smoking anymore.
No, you don't.
It used to be everywhere you went, people smoked, even on television and movies.
Yeah.
You don't see it anymore.
What I loved, and we're going to re-mention that today, so I'm re-mentioning it now. But you, both of you had doctors that when you were kids, they smoked as they examined you.
Dr. Thierman. I used to go there.
He took
a puff and he turned his head to blow it away, but it's still blowing in my face.
We survived the danger of secondhand smoke.
Right. But the
first thing, doctor was giving it to me.
Yeah. Isn't that something? So we'll talk about, first thing we'll do, talk about cars, trucks, and buses, about some of the features that they had or lack of.
And then we'll get to
dangerous.
Our we'll terrible get to skin
the,
care.
We'll get to the suntan right after that.
Pollution from our
industry. Well, Jerry Seinfeld has a funny bit. He says, back when I used to, and I remember because I lived a block from him, the same Good Humor man. Yeah. And the menu on the Good Humor truck is in the back of the truck right above the exhaust.
Yeah.
He said every time you looked at the menu, it was like smoking a pack of unfiltered Camel. And he's right.
Yeah.
It was the exhaust for the truck while you're reading the menu.
Yes.
Yes. That's right.
So what we're pointing out in these two sessions last month and now is we were really unaware. We were innocent. Now, coming up later this summer, we're going to have to tackle the dangers we survived that we knew about, like jumping off the sides of the quarry.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly dangerous, and we knew.
I never did anything stupid like that.
Or, Jim, you've already talked about taking shortcuts, going underneath boxcars.
Oh, yeah.
On the
way
railroad
to school.
Tracks.
Sure, yeah.
There were. We're going to turn later on this summer to what we did know.
Mm-hmm.
But here we were in our family cars.
Yep. Before you get to that, you went underneath a boxcar?
Oh, sure. It was stationary, but it was a shortcut to get to school. Why walk three
not
blocks out of your
box
way?
Car.
Yeah. And now that you mentioned that, I will tell you what I used to do. I used to take the Long Island Railroad before it was elevated. Okay. I had to either cross the third rail, which is the electrified rail.
You told us about your friend dying.
Yeah. And I used to jump on the, there was a piece of wood above it.
You
jump on
us.
The wood and boom, 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 goes up and down. Yeah. And you leap, or you can leap over it and just, you know, hope for the best. And I did that for 4 years.
Yeah.
And as you can see, I never missed. Or you or you can walk a quarter mile down, cross it, cross, and a quarter mile
and
back.
And who would do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a waste of your valuable time.
We just jumped on the over the third rail.
That, sure.
And I think back now, my mother didn't stop me.
Yeah. She didn't let you do sports, but she let you.
I don't think she knew I was crossing the third rail.
Came close to being electrocuted.
I don't think she knew. Yeah. She would have. She would have said something. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Well, we're thinking of our family cars to start out with. And, of course, what the audience will know we're going to talk about, mainly, no seatbelts. Now, why in the world would you have a seatbelt anyway? As you said, Jim, people would say, well, how do you get out of this place? How do you get out of this car if you got a seatbelt? So...
And these were lap belts. They weren't the seat belts we know today.
True.
That's right.
That is true.
Lap belts.
That is true.
Yeah.
So without those seat belts, you know, little kids could sit in the front seat. And if you came to a quick stop, Jim, you were reminding me of seeing mothers. They would just, the driver, they would just put out their right
fling
hand
out their arm.
To hold the kid back if they were having to quick stop.
Sure.
It was Jerry Seinfeld's father on Seinfeld. Remember, that was his move. Remember that?
Really?
No, Mr. Costanza, that was his move. with his hand.
And then the back seat. Now, I'm maybe exaggerating a bit, but, you know, if we took neighbor kids to the beach or something, the back seat was a free-for-all. You could cram in anywhere on the floor. And my friend Kay, she would talk about when the family drove all the way to Door County, her favorite spot was riding underneath the window above the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
Can you picture that? How you would lay across that ledge there?
Yeah, people used to sleep on the back. There was like a ledge
bed.
There. People kids used to crawl in there and sleep in there.
Yeah.
And then
you
stop short and you get a missile out the front window.
yes.
But we loved it.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
And research, again, that I want to plug here for our real studies on this. 1961, Wisconsin was the first state to require front seat belts.
Hmm.
And then 1968, the federal government did. Now, Don, you'll be proud of this. 1984, New York required you to wear them.
Well, and I remember back in the early 60s, Robbie Jacobs' mother got a car and she had seat belts put into it. And all the kids went over there. Whoa, look at that. You got seat. Can we try them? And his mother said, don't you go in that car.
Yeah. It's like getting a color TV, you know.
Yeah, right. Oh. Yeah. Robbie Jacobs was the first in the neighborhood to have seat belts in his car.
That was status.
Yeah. Right.
And then 1987, which was 26 years after Wisconsin was a pioneer, that's when we were required to wear them. So we finally, it took 26 years, but we caught up. And what do you remember about
it, Jim? Well, I remember riding in the back of a pickup truck, in the bed of the pickup truck. And that was a common occurrence for, back in the 50s. We had a vacation every year to Rice Lake, Wisconsin. Our grandparents were there. And my grandpa had a old Chevy pickup truck. And my sister and I would just ride in the back of that truck all over town. And sometimes in the county, too. But no one said anything. You know, it was... perfectly safe, I guess, back then.
And to this day, is there a law about back seat belts?
I don't know.
I'll have to dig deeper.
Yeah. Do we care about the people in the back seat?
No, probably not.
They're expendable. Anybody in the back seat's expendable.
This was in the bed of a pickup truck.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking.
It was like riding in a convertible.
Oh,
that's
sure.
What
pretty
it was.
Nice.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
And
go ahead.
Yeah, and some of us in the wintertime, we went skitching. You know what that is.
I know what that is.
You know
it's
that
hanging
is?
On to the back and
just
water skiing in the streets.
Yeah, yeah. We knew it was dangerous, but we did it anyway. A lot of times our friends would have a car and they would know that we were skitching in the back. Other times we'd hitch a ride on a truck or even a city bus. They never knew we were there, but If they only knew, they'd probably stop the bus and say, hey, get out.
Carol's looking at you. What kind of delinquent were you? Talking to Carol Gianforte, Jim Basir, their monthly get-together with us here, talking about the dangers we didn't know about.
No, or so innocent.
Let's put it this way. The dangers we didn't care about.
That's right.
In the
That's
50s
right.
and 60s, yeah. part two. What
we
else
were
you got?
Oblivious. Well,
who remembers hitchhiking back then? And that was a very popular thing to do many years ago in the 50s and even the 60s. It was just a common occurrence. If you wanted a ride, you just, you used your thumb to get a free ride is what it boils down to.
You know, Jim, I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, Marv Lindbergh, just came to my memory here.
Mm-hmm.
Marv in college really didn't that year have plans over the Christmas break from Madison. And he hitchhiked all the way to California and back over that break.
Wow. Geez. A
lot of stories. And all safe.
Back then,
so
you could.
He was safe.
Yeah. Yeah. How about breathing fumes?
Oh, yes. When we think about air pollution and mm-hmm. cars, well, our buses had a lot of fumes. And we were always so impressed because downtown, everyone knows what I'm going to say. We had three dime stores in a row for arriving downtown from one direction. And so when you got out with the buses all stopped in front of the dime stores,
that's right.
It was a cloud of fumes.
Yes, when all six bus routes took off at the same time, which they did, you were just in this one black
cloud. It was a cloud.
Yeah, it was.
But it built your lungs up.
Turned them black.
It gave that, immunity with your lungs.
You were ready for shopping. A little coughing, but you were ready for shopping.
Right, yeah. And now we're going to move on to treating our skin. The first thing that comes to mind, and I'm sure many of us remember, Mercuricome. Who remembers Mercuricome?
Yeah,
I'm sure
that
Don
orange
did.
Stuff that, that did, right, burned
that's
you.
Right, yes.
And didn't do any good.
Yep. That mom put that on every single cut and scrape that us kids had. Like Don said, it stung, it smelled, and it stained. And it hurt. That really hurt.
Well, I did a little research on that.
Yeah, it contained mercury. Yep.
Oh, did it?
That's
what they say.
Mercurochrome.
Right,
Yeah, but you wouldn't think they put mercury in there, the stuff that can kill you.
But see, we were innocent until...
Yeah. Of course, we were eating it in tuna fish, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, right. 1998, it took till 1998 to have it banned, product banned.
Okay.
So
mercurochrome is banned?
Yes, it's
banned. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
1998.
Yeah.
I'm still using it. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a little old now.
Old bottle.
It's 28 years old.
Well, we would come in crying from getting cut outside, and, mom would put the Mercuricome on, and all of a sudden we're good as new, and we're out playing again a few minutes later.
Uh-huh. But mercury.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know mercury was in there.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Now let's get to our
favorite.
Now
we leave it to the fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, tuna fish had mercury in it.
And still have to be careful.
Yeah.
Well, and then just plain tanning.
Tanning. Yes. No sunscreen.
No. Copper tone, but no sunscreen.
Yeah.
And, I'm sure in the 50s, everybody was tanning. But, we had a beach. We had a beach to tan on.
Mm-hmm.
I had a sun porch on the second floor. So, that was closer to the sun. So we were totally unaware of these UV lights that I attest to today now with all these wrinkles. But we wanted the deepest, the healthiest, the darker, the better.
I had skin cancer.
You did? Oh.
Yes. Oh. And when the doctor looked at it, I said, how did I get this? He said, probably when you were a little kid, your ears got burned and...
Yeah.
Here you are decades later, and this is developing. Now, they removed it. I don't have cancer anymore. But, that's how I got it as a kid.
Yes.
Just getting sun.
And that really brings to mind, Don, it wasn't just us gals laying out in the sun. Now when I see what parents are doing with little kids, the screens, the visors, the swimming suits with arms, little kids are being they're taken care of. Not us.
My dad said, get out there and be a man. Thanks, Dad. But he said, just going out in the sun playing.
Yes.
He just burned my ears and there's the skin cancer. Yeah. And it's all gone. But that's what he said. That's how he got it.
Yeah. What's festering and we don't know?
Oh, who knows what's festering? It's, I don't want to know. Yeah. Tell me in the autopsy. I don't want to know.
Yeah, the autopsy. And some of the brands that we're familiar with, of course, we use Coppertone. Bando Soleil, I remember that
commercial. Oh, yeah, they had a great jingle.
Yeah, they did. Have a love affair with the sun, be kissed.
Yeah.
So I guess if you wanted to get kissed, you put on some Bando Soleil.
Yeah.
That's right. Tanfastic was another one. Sea and Ski. But we could spend hours at the beach, and we didn't think it was dangerous. We just got that beautiful tan, and I think on one hand, we thought it really helped our romance. You know,
yeah.
Girls love the guys with deep tans and vice versa as well. And like Bando Soleil, the commercial, like Don said, have a love affair with the sun.
Now, I'm just thinking, we didn't have tanning salons back then, though.
No, not at all.
So that danger came in later.
That's right.
What was the jingle? Number one with, I'll find it in a minute. I'm going to sing it because I can't sing.
Well, if you didn't want to spend all that time at the beach, you could get a product called QT or Quick Tan. We called it a fake tan because that could turn your skin the color orange. And when you see somebody...
That would match your mercurochrome.
Yeah, yeah. And when you see somebody with this orange look, you would say, hey, they got that fake tan, you know. Uh-huh. And there was a product for the guys, too, called Man Tan. Yeah, you splash it on your face like a shave lotion.
Huh.
But that's for the quick way. If you didn't want to spend hours at the beach, you know, splash it on.
And then you could use your own devices, like gals would use tinfoil to guide the rays closer to you.
Well, they had that thing you hold under your chin.
That's right.
That reflective board.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't you getting enough sun? No. I mean, we need that to... Once you get the magnifying glass used to burn ants with, get one of those and put it on your hand, too.
You know, now, and I'm drawing a blank here. What did we use iodine with?
Baby oil
and iodine?
That was another...
Was that a mixture?
Yeah, that was a mixture.
Oh, okay.
It's amazing we're all here.
We were trying so hard. Yeah.
We're chatting this morning with Carol Jean Forte, Jim Messier, talking about the dangers in the 50s and 60s. We had no idea what we were doing. Let's talk about dentists here.
Well,
my favorite topic.
Well, you know, my friend Jean Hansen and I, we have similar memories of our dentist. And I will not besmirch his name because I'm sure he just was representative of the field. But our dentist was above the Northside drugstore. And so you had to take this side door and go up about 40 steps in this narrow...
Why don't you just give his social security number as long as you're telling us where he was?
Yeah, I'll tell you who it is.
And, you know, this was the stairway not to heaven, because you could start smelling the Novocaine or whatever
the
it was.
The burning teeth from the slow drill.
At the bottom.
You could hear
and
the screams.
Yes, that was it. The sound and smell of the slow drill.
The screams.
Yeah. It was torture. It was torture.
And please no! Don't! Please no! No more!
I'm surprised. Now that I think about it, you know, I guess we didn't stop at the drugstore for some soothing ointment afterwards, but we should have. Well, anyway, now sitting here during our break, here we find out that Don has been discussing his fillings.
Amalgam
with his
fillings.
Dentist. Tell us, Don.
Yeah, amalgam. Not this dentist I go to, a dentist before that one years ago. He said, I got to replace those amalgam fillings, which are silver fillings, because you really shouldn't have them in your mouth anymore. He didn't tell me why, but I just looked it up because they had mercury in them.
Yeah. So you see, our innocence, we're still dealing with it.
I still have them.
I know. We're still dealing with this.
And eat that in a tuna fish sandwich, and I'm ready for the cemetery.
The next stage.
The afterlife.
Well, and then doctors, we keep mentioning, but even doctors smoking in the very examining room. So we had to survive dentists and some aspects of our doctors. And Jim, what would you say next?
Well,
surviving.
Let's talk about industry and pollution.
And Racine had a lot of
both,
maybe.
We had a lot of both. That's right. Starting off with, let's talk about lead. Lead was found in paint, of course, and lead pipes. That causes serious health issues. As a matter of fact, Don, I think last week you had the mayor here, and he had a...
The lead pipes, yeah.
The lead pipes are being replaced. Yeah. So that's really a good thing. And there was also asbestos, right, Carol?
Yes, but back to lead for a minute, Jim. I looked up what paints today are known as lead-containing, especially in the 50s. And Sherwin-Williams and Dutch Boy came up from the internet on definitely lead paint in the popular.
Now, this is old.
That's old.
Not today.
In the
50s,
yes. Yes, let's. We don't want to get sued by either one of these.
I didn't say it. You're the one who's going to get the lawsuit.
It's me.
That was
it's
you.
Me. It's me. Yes,
me.
Yes. And what does lead cause? Mainly it collects in the brain. So that leads to neurological disorders. So that's the story on lead in a condensed form. Now asbestos, too. Mm-hmm. We also mm-hmm. dealt with that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I used to, we had lead, on lead, we had asbestos shingles on the side of our house when I was growing up. And in the summer, when it was so hot outside, we used to put our tongues on it.
Because
who knew? So I used to lick it because it was cool. It was cold. And we had to hold our tongues on the asbestos.
You should have gone to popsicles, Don.
My father had asbestosis, which is because he worked in these buildings in Manhattan. And there was asbestos in the wrappings of the pipes.
Yeah.
And when he pulled them off, it was all in the air. Yeah. He breathed it in.
Yep.
But he lived with it. I mean, it was nothing dangerous
Plus
for him.
Plus, he was a smoker until he got some bad news.
He was told, stop smoking now because pay your bill because you won't be out of here alive.
Yeah.
And it was the day of the East Coast power blackout in 1967.
Oh, yeah.
And he never picked up another cigarette since. Scared him.
Yeah.
Well, when I think of asbestos on a individual level, lo and behold, guess what my mind goes to? Hoping to have a recreation room. And why am I thinking that? Now, we were in an older house. There was no hope of a rec room. But that was the ultimate. If you had a rec room, but putting down or even taking up the tiling for the floors, the popcorn ceilings, and, of course, anything with your roof, this led to asbestos in the air. And then that dread disease, especially like of miners, mesothelioma, advertised all the time.
Now you see the TV lawyers, you know, they always start asbestos. By saying, right, asbestos. Did you work in the shipbuilding industry? Were you in the Navy? You may be entitled to compensation.
Did you build a rec room with your father?
Yeah, that's probably one of them, too.
Did you listen to Don Rosen in the morning? You may be entitled to compensation.
A brain drain.
Let's talk about water.
Then, and lead pipes and water, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Bubblers, I venture to say they were dangerous. I hadn't told you this, but we took one major vacation as far as Sheboygan. And I remember running over to a bubbler, and the taste was awful, like rust. So I imagine the bubblers were filtering to us all kinds of debris from its piping.
When I first came to Wisconsin, my daughter was 3 months old. We were only here a few days, and we took her to the doctor just to check up something. And I said, do you have any water? Because there are the bubblers in the hall. I said, no, water. Yeah, the bubblers, you know. What is a bubbler? I never heard of the word before.
Yeah, it's a local thing here.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, many of us would drink water straight from the garden hose. I mean, heck, I still do. If I'm watering outside and I'm thirsty, I'll just drink from the garden hose.
That's okay as long as it's city water. If it's well water, then you got a problem.
Okay. All right.
Well, I won't argue the point.
Yeah.
But what is getting the water to your garden hose? Piping that's not good?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, what we have to do is wrap you in a bubble.
And sometimes on a hot day, some of the older kids would open up a fire hydrant. These were the bigger kids who knew how to open them. I know it was illegal, but they did it anyway. They probably borrowed their dad's wrench. And it worked. I mean, you really got cooled off. But the danger was to the little kids, because when that water pressure gushed out, it would just blow these little kids, you know, right off their feet.
Now, Jim, I'm noticing you're using the word they.
Yeah.
So you did not take part in this.
No, I did. I did not open one, but I saw it happen once
but
as a kid.
You did not officially take part in that.
No, 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 no. And then, of course, we had pollution from industry, which we probably still have. Why don't you start us off with that?
Oh, well, unfortunately, I grew up on Carlisle Avenue near the Horlick Athletic Field. But you know what was nearby? Bell City Foundry.
Foundry, yes.
And my parents were such cautious people. And when they bought our house in 1950, I remember my dad talking about he had the furnace checked, he had the wood siding checked. But lo and behold, in all those trips probably to look at 1418 Carlisle, I have to say now, the wind was not coming from the east. Because when we lived in that house, and it was 45 years for my parents, in those years of the 50s, when the wind came from the east, it was filled with soot.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked that up, S-O-O-T, on burning that's not complete and it has carbon in it. Well, anyway, it was bad because you, if wash day, hanging clothes out, the sheets would have black marks on them. The house my parents had washed at least once a year. And we kids playing on the grass with all this soot. So
what did you do? Live in a coal mine? Where? Well,
Just two blocks from the foundry.
Yeah, that would do
so
it.
So I don't think there's ever been a study of all of us who grew up in that area, and I'm surviving. But you wonder if it had what effect it had.
We're talking to Carol Gianforte and Jim Messier. We're talking about the dangers growing up in the 50s and 60s that we were so unaware of.
Yep.
And now that we're aware of it, we're in a panic.
Back with the industry, let's talk about noise pollution. No, we're not referring to Carol and myself. one of the major companies in town was Walker Forge. They were on east of Taylor on 17th. They had this loud hammer mill. And they had severe noise and air pollution, I remember. You could hear that hammer mill and heavy machinery. They were a forging operation, and you could hear that for literally a few miles away. We lived on Kearney Avenue by Cristiano, and I could hear that bang, bang, bang constantly, day and in the early evening as well.
That was every single day, Jim?
Every single, except for the weekends, right.
And the workers, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I don't know how they survived. Yeah, that was. Yeah, right. We also had coal-powered furnaces back then. Many of us had coal-powered furnaces. A lot of us had oil. I think your parents had oil, Carol. Mm-hmm. But my dad would have a coal bin. We'd get coal delivered, and then I remember him shoveling coal into the furnace. And that was really interesting for kids to go exploring in the coal bin. It was dirty, filthy, and you come out black.
I still have it in my house in the basement.
Do you really?
Yeah,
it's the bin.
Right where the bin would have been, it's all sand in my basement, in that corner, and the coal chute was right there just to go into the sand.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Uh-huh.
Now, was that the Pew Coal, was that called Pew Coal Company?
That was one of the coal companies. There was a Seft and Bauman Coal. There were quite a few coal companies.
And wasn't there a big, huge pile of coal down by the lake and off of State Street?
That was
State Main?
Right. On the north of the harbor.
Oh, it was north?
That was Pew. On the south, that was for the gas company.
Where was the big coal pile, north or south?
Both.
Both?
Yeah.
Oh.
They both had coal piles there.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And there were so many factories in town that were powered by coal as well. You would see all these factory smokestacks just, the smoke just coming out of these smokestacks. I don't think any of them use coal anymore, but the smokestacks are still there. I know Johnson's Wax has their smokestack. They just left it for,
decorative purposes.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And there's a lot of smokestacks still around, but.
I was just mentioning to you, Jim, looking at Retro Racine, a Facebook site this weekend.
Yeah.
Someone posted a picture looking north from downtown.
Uh-huh.
From the 30s.
Yeah.
But there in the distance, you could see the big,
smokestacks.
The smokestacks.
Yeah, right.
But also that big oil.
Oh, the for natural gas. There were four of those big tanks.
Okay. So you could see you could see our downtown, the beautiful Monument Square, and then you could see the top of an oil stack, and you could see the smokestacks.
Right.
Part of the same.
Yeah, yeah. But if you remember, if your parents had a coal furnace, that smell was outside. You could just smell the.
Really?
Oh, I haven't
and
smelled
not a good,
that.
Not a good
smell. Now I'd love to smell it again, but
would
back
you?
Then it would just, you know, it would be a common occurrence. It would just trigger some pleasant memories if you smell it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Don't
right.
Don't do the research on coal.
No.
Don't look it up.
Of course, we had some dangers, too, with
right at home.
Household dangers.
Right,
that's right
at home.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
One of the major dangers you and I discovered.
Yep.
We each had an example.
Yep.
The Maytag Ringer washing
machine. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
I remember when the neighbor lady, the news spread like fire, she got her hand caught in the Ringer washing machine.
Yeah, my mother did constantly. Yet there was a little lever on the right where you, when you're ready, you had your left hand with the clothes going in, you pull the lever on the right, and all of a sudden the rollers would start. And if you weren't fast enough, your fingers would get stuck.
I'm glad your mother knew what to do because the neighbors were so concerned about our neighbor lady. I don't know exactly what happened.
Well, that was easy to do.
My mother, too, and I loved her to death, but she was not a great cook, and I am not either. But I grew up on what we called boiled dinners.
Boiled dinners.
And they were made in a pressure cooker. Presto pressure cooker.
Okay.
And there was always a danger that that pressure inside of steam could make the device explode. So I just looked it up. Presto is still making pressure cookers. And there are about 2,000 accidents of scalding in the United States every year. So I survived. And my mother survived.
We all survived.
We all survived the pressure cooker era.
That's right. That's right.
Then also, another thing that would happen from home, you know, I think we had more house fires. And it would be smoking. Smoking in bed, smoking from falling asleep on the couch.
Well, you think about smoking in bed. What were people thinking?
And a fire could... You know,
it didn't could it did it people did. Died from smoking in bed.
Sure. Well, they never thought they were going to fall asleep, obviously, but a lot of them did.
Well, let me see.
You're in bed. Yeah.
I never thought I was going to fall asleep laying in bed. let me think about this for a second.
Right.
How can I possibly get tired and fall asleep laying in bed?
And it's only a cigarette. A cigarette.
What harm can that do? Yeah.
And then, Jim, we were talking about Christmas and the dangers of being in the household with a hot bulb, the light bulbs.
The light bulbs.
They used to put candles on Christmas trees in the 1800s.
Yes.
Well, at least we outgrew that.
What were they thinking?
Real candles. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
But we did have very hot light bulbs and Christmas bulbs.
We did. And combine that with a very hot or dry Christmas tree and... Bingo. It goes up in flames.
Yeah, remember?
And then
pesticides for a second.
Yeah.
I have a lot of drive-in movie theater ads they used to run at the drive-ins. And one of them was, back in the 50s, they used to spray the drive-in theater with DDT to get rid of the mosquitoes. And before the showing, they had a truck, and they used to spray the DDT.
Mm-hmm.
And they sprayed every aspect of the drive-in. And they said, you're watching the movie bug-free. Of course, nobody survived, and 10 years from then, nobody was around except the bugs were still around.
Yeah.
Could you imagine they used to spray the drive-in with DDT?
Yeah. We all breathed it in thinking nothing was wrong, you know.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
That's a real... Oh, my favorite, Guns of Navarone. And just coughing our lungs out from the DDT.
Yeah. Thank you very much for doing that. We appreciate it.
And as I've grown to say, we seem, as the public, we seem to be the last to know. When a danger was revealed, we'd endured it for years.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And next time, we're going to continue this conversation with a few more dangerous practices we did back then, which we didn't think anything of. We're going to center on babies, kids, and teens, right?
And for instance, I already mentioned jumping off the quarry wall.
Yep, that's right.
That was not me, But
we should have a category for stupid.
And you know, we had the privilege of just roaming around the city, even at young ages, third, fourth grade, being gone all day long. But we did do some very scary things too, in our roaming around.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's right.
Down by the water,
yep,
on the piers, a lot of things.
Oh, yeah, playing with jarts. That's another thing.
We're going to get into that. Daredevils, I'll dare you.
Oh, yeah, 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 making dares. I dare you to, I double dare you to.
I triple dog dare you.
Jump off that building.
In the drive-in movie theaters, too, they used to sell these, they called it PIC, P-I-C.
Oh, yes.
And used to put it in your car to get rid of the mosquitoes. You burnt a coil and you burned it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that thing was made of, but.
Mercury, probably.
Yeah.
Who knows what was in that thing? And you used to put it in your car with the windows rolled up.
Yes, that's right.
And
that's
so now you're breathing it in. What were people thinking about?
That's right.
Thank you guys for
thank
coming
you.
In.
Thank you.
If you missed any of this, we'll have this podcast for you. WRJN.com, civicmedia.us, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks a lot, guys.